Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just talking about some good work out there in Jefferson Parish, getting a couple of vehicle burglars in two apprehensions. Think they're still looking for a third. One of those apprehended, 14 years of age. And there's a lot of data and science that says if you're doing and stealing cars at 14, you have a higher propensity for violence when you reach the age of majority. The other crime is battery on a teacher. Two crimes that are in, you know, strongly linked from the perspective of violent behavior at a later age. So it's going to be interesting. And boy, it is a challenge for sure. Joining us on the line right now is Dr. George Kapowicz, former cop, professor emeritus in criminology at the Department of Sociology at Loyola. We're going to talk about this Fort Worth shooting. Dr. Kapowicz, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So, Doc, this set of circumstances, I think, as tragic as the outcome was, and it was tragic, and the victim obviously did not do anything that she didn't have a right to do or would have been expected to do or anything else. But then you have the flip side as it relates to what the officer did. And there's been a lot of criticism as to the way that he and his partner actually handled the scene. And then in the aftermath of the event, the way that the information was released and then shortly thereafter, an arrest being made on him for murder.
Right.
And it just kind of struck me with the speed that this went through the process, and at the same time, the chief saying that he did not have all of the information available to him when he's actually talking about, you know, what made up the probable cause for the arrest as it related to murder.
Right.
So I was wondering, what are your initial observations as you looked at how this unfolded?
Well, I guess I would divide it up into a couple of areas. One, in terms, and you know, I don't know what information is known, but how the officers approached the situation long before he ended up in the side yard or the backyard, where in the window where he shot the woman. It struck me that, you know, it responds to a call, open door, nighttime. Probably not an uncommon event. I certainly remember doing those. And wondering, questions in my mind is, what information do they have? Did they talk to the person who called? Did they know anything about whether someone was inside? After that, then the thing that occurred to me, I thought it was, I was surprised that they didn't try to learn anything about what or who was inside before going around the side of the house. So announcing themselves, trying to find out if anyone is there, because the picture I saw showed the door wide open. So it struck me that by not doing that, they didn't know anything about inside.
Well, the 911 call came in on a non-emergency line from the next door neighbor that said the following.
Right.
That the front door and side door had been open since 10:30 that evening. This was at 2:30 in the morning. And that this typically doesn't happen at this location. And that he has not seen any movement within the house. And I believe he articulated that there was a woman there with her 8-year-old nephew.
And I read something and she was babysitting.
Yeah, and that's the information that they had. The officers pull up on the scene and park a couple of doors down so as to not be seen. Mm-hmm. And then approach the front of the house, look in the front. It's well lit inside, and they don't see anything. They don't see any movement, and that's when they begin to make their way around the side of the house.
Well, again, I think that I'm sure all this will get clarified through the investigation, but it just struck me that officers would want as much information as possible. And if they had gone, let's just say, gone to the front door, flashlights, and announced who they were, asked if anyone was inside, it might not have led to the tragic incident that occurred. So part of it is to look in any use of police use of deadly force, looking not just at the immediate circumstances where the shooting took place, but the behavior and the actions leading up to it. Having said all that, I think I was surprised by the chief's quick response. I saw one at his press conference where he made some statement to the effect of, I looked at the video and I don't see anything that would have justified the shooting. That surprised me. Yeah. It seemed quick. On the other hand, I would say that this is the ninth police shooting in Fort Worth this year. That's a lot by any standard. As you know from your career in law enforcement, most police officers go through their career never using deadly force, never firing their weapons except in training. So nine police-involved shootings in 10 months seems like an extraordinarily high number. And so I would I suspect that the chief was sensitive to the problems in Fort Worth and was looking for some way to not respond in a typical bureaucratic way, but perhaps jumped a little too quickly. Now, as far as the placing of the charges, I guess I was surprised too that came so quickly. But we know how sensitive these topics are, and the need for police and police departments and city governments to respond meaningfully.
Yeah, I was a little taken aback, and the mayor seemed to embrace the attorney for the family's statement when the attorney says that he accused the Fort Worth Police Department of providing a defense for the officer Dean by writing that Jefferson, the victim, had pointed a gun at the window before Dean fired. It's their obligation to point that out in an affidavit on for the arrest, because you're not trying to create a defense for him. It's a fact. It happened. I mean,
that would be part of the investigation.
And the attorney goes on to say, suddenly they're building the defense in the arrest warrant itself for the officer. Well, no, I mean, you're giving them a recantation of what actually happened and what you knew at that point in time.
Well, it's right. Given that, and I'd read that or heard something about the fact that I guess she had a weapon.
Ultimately what happens is the 8-year-old says they heard some noise. She went to her purse, she grabbed a gun,
right,
and she pointed it at the same window that they had the confrontation with the officer.
Right.
That's not to say that she did anything wrong. She didn't. In the justification of the shooting, in how that particular scene went down, that I would say is a pertinent fact that should be in the warrant, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if it belongs in the arrest warrant. The arrest warrant would address the probable cause for making the charge. I've been out of law enforcement for quite a while after I entered.
Yeah, but if you have knowledge of
an academia,
if you have knowledge of exculpatory evidence, it's not fair not to put it in there.
I'm not saying you should be ignored.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I don't, in my experience, that wouldn't be in the arrest warrant, because the arrest warrant would justify the probable cause for making the charge. That is a potentially exculpatory fact that needs to be part of the investigation. But I don't know, how they do it in Texas, what they do in arrest warrants. But typically, that's not where you would present that kind of information.
I may be all wet on this, but my sense tells me, because of all of the other previous shootings, because of the uptick in frustrations of the community at large and dealing with this particular police department, that this circumstances here went off and running in an attempt to keep everybody at bay and at ease.
I just
don't think that's fair to whomever, whether it be if the roles were reversed and she had shot him in the same circumstances. We shouldn't be having this rush to judgment, in that case. And it needs to delve into all of the details and facts.
Oh, no doubt. And that's one reason I was surprised that the chief said what he did so quickly at the news conference. But again, I would go back to, given what happened, she and her nephew hear noises, somebody's in the backyard or the side yard, wherever it was. They pull or take out a gun because they're fearful. They don't know who's out there. Backing up to the officer's approach, that could have been avoided had they announced themselves through the open front door, which is the first thing that I would have done and did do a number of times when I was working the street. You try to find out first, hello, who's in there, Fort Worth police.
But are you saying that you've never done it the other way?
Oh, no. I mean, that's it. The first task is to gain as much information as you can. They shouldn't have just walked in the house, but they could have shined flashlights, announced who they were, is everyone all right, who's inside, that sort of thing. Had that happened, then her fears wouldn't have arisen.
Right.
It's not just the immediate few seconds where the shooting takes place. I think part of what has to happen in police work is that
they're given discretion, right?
Oh, of course.
So they're given bright lights of things to look for, so to speak, but they're given discretion. So when the call comes in and they said they hadn't seen somebody in the house moving around since 10 o'clock that evening, and it's now 2:30 in the morning and two doors are wide open, and, it's kind of strange. After all the years that I serve, I didn't find it odd that they didn't make an announcement without trying to assess the perimeter of the structure first, because they could look straight into the front of the structure and see that there was no movement, lights were on, nobody there. And in fact, as the body cam camera passed by the side door, there was a bunch of garbage on the floor. And it looked like it was disheveled. And that would have raised my concern a little bit more, because I, like you, have done it both ways. But based on that information, I'm having a hard time getting my head around when the chief says, I would have fired him for violation of our departmental policy as to that, of not announcing. I would have fired him on de-escalation, and I would have fired him, I think he's something else that he said. And I'm like, well, how do you de-escalate? I mean, you walk up to a window, you look in, there's a gun pointed at you, you point your gun at them and tell them to show your hands, and the next thing you know, a shot's fired.
Right. Well, I think, you know, at that point, de-escalation is not possible.
No.
It's already at the escalated point. The de-escalation part comes earlier. Part of police work in community is to, you know, police are in a situation of using discretion, and they're often in a situation of having to be reactive. It's the nature of the work.
Right.
But to take an approach from the beginning that minimizes the chance for escalation. And, you know, I mean, when I read about it, I started thinking back to a number of experiences that I had. I think part of it would, I mean, the typical way I can remember handling this is trying to find out if anyone is inside and having another officer, your backup or third officer who is there on the scene, watching the outside until you determine as much as you can.
Well,
then
that's always the case of every call, but I don't know what their call logs are, what their call activity is there at that time in the morning, but you have limited assets, as you well know, at 2:30 in the morning. I mean, you know, you can Monday morning quarterback this to death. I had a difficult time trying to figure out whether what they did was unreasonable, because that's actually the standard. It's not the benefit of 20/20 hindsight. It's whether what they did at that point in time was actually reasonable.
Right.
And that we're jumping to a murder charge where I'm having also very difficult time trying to figure out where's the criminal intent.
Yeah, I think, you know, well, I think,
But let me shift it to this, just to get your thoughts real quick.
Uh-huh.
Situations like this, where we don't take our time, we don't gather all of this stuff, and we really are reacting to the public's outrage instead of just going through the process and making sure that we've dotted every I and crossed every T, I think this department's going to have a lot harder time keeping officers and recruiting officers. Because when they see this kind of thing happen, he would have been just as happy not to have to go to this call. But when you hear what some is being said in the public, it's almost like this was premeditated.
I haven't seen anything like that.
I've read a lot of the comments out of the crowd there about what they're saying, what they're doing, you know, and like it's like we're building a defense in the arrest warrant. Really? Mm-hmm. There was a gun located just inside of the windowsill where the individual was shot. That is relevant. The mayor says it's not relevant at all. How can you have a mayor saying that gun has no relevance? Really?
I didn't see that, and that strikes me as an odd comment.
Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price, speaking at a news conference Monday, said the gun was irrelevant. She was in She was in her own home. She was taken from her family in circumstances that are truly unthinkable. They're not unthinkable. They're tragic, but this may have been a series of unfortunate events.
Well, it certainly seems that way. But again, I think one of the factors that contributed to that sequence of events was the way in which the officers first approached the house.
The initial approach, and that's based on discretion of how they assess the scene at that point in time when they walk up, right?
Yeah, but it's not just arbitrary discretion. It's discretion in the sense of what do we need to know, what do we have to do right now? How can we get, I mean, one of the problems police have is when they go get dispatched to a call, they often have very little information.
Mm-hmm.
And so the task becomes, let's get as much as we can, as quickly as we can.
Right.
And then proceed. And so I agree with you that there was a whole sequence of events that resulted in this tragedy. One of those events was their initial approach. So I'm not talking about when the shooting actually occurred.
Yep.
But part of what police need to do, whether it's a fight or a dispute or something like this,
absolutely,
is do things that don't contribute to the problem. And that's part of the discretion and smart decisions.
Absolutely. Dr. George Kapowicz, thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate your insight.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.